And so I served the brethren in the northern 10 tribes of our nation of Israel. At that time it was divided, and our king in the north was Jeroboam II. And he trusted me as an advisor and a friend. He considered me someone who gave him advice. I particularly gave him advice on how to keep our enemy from the north, that mighty evil power of Assyria, from encroaching on us. And I advised him in strategies to push back our boundaries to protect our wonderful nation. And then that ancient nation of Assyria became a pain in my life. God spoke to me as his prophet one day and asked me to go to that wicked country and to tell those people to repent. They were an evil, insidious people that hated our people. And I could think of no job that I would want less. I asked the Lord, "Lord, please deliver me from this one request." But he would not. And I was so anguished with the problem that I decided rather than do what God had told me to do, I would make it an impossibility. I would go as far away from Nineveh and that wicked city that was so horrible to our people. It was a huge ancient city. It took over 3 days to walk around it. But I decided that the only answer would be to go in the opposite direction. And so I planned to go to the port of Joppa on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea and take a boat as far away as I could on the western banks of the Mediterranean to Tarshish. And so as I boarded the boat, I became at peace with what I had decided to do. And I was so relieved to have had a solution that I went below deck and began to sleep soundly. I don't know how long I slept, but I was rudely awakened by the captain, and I noticed that the boat was ajar. It was bouncing all over, and the captain said, "Get up and pray to your God, for a horrible storm is upon us, and the waves are crashing over the bow, and my boat is going to be broken and destroyed." And so I got up and I prayed and I prayed and I went on deck to see what was going on. And they said, "Who is the God you pray to?" I said, "I represent Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God that made the land and the seas." And they said, "Well, pray to your Lord." And they cast lots to see who was responsible for this evil that had come upon their boat. The lot fell to me. And they came to me and they said, "You need to repent or pray harder. Do something, for we do not want to destroy you." And then I heard them. They were trying to row faster and harder. And I said, "Unless you throw me overboard, you will not get out of this mess." And reluctantly they said, "No, no. God, please do not harm us for taking this man and throwing him overboard. Do not hold us guilty of a wrong." And with that, they took me and threw me overboard. And instantly, the waves that were crashing and tearing at the boat calmed. I began to sink beneath the waves. I began to sink into the bowels of the earth, exhausted and depressed, when all of a sudden, a giant fish swallowed me. And as I found myself in the belly of this great fish, I was amazed. Had God saved me? Or was this my end? For 3 days, I was in the belly of that fish. And God told me to repent and to do what he asked. And on the third day, the fish vomited me up on shore. I was quite a mess. But God told me, go to Nineveh. Preach for them to repent. I did not like it. But this time, I headed north. I made my way into the city and I walked the streets of that magnificent but hideous city, proclaiming, repent, or God will destroy this mighty city in 40 days. Astonishingly, the people repented. These vile Assyrian people repented. The king even put out an edict for his people. You are to repent, cover yourself with ashes and pray. Quit your evil ways and God may spare the city. Well, I was astonished that God would do such a thing to these people who have hated the people that he loved, the ones that worshiped him, the ones that called him their God. And so in my anger and frustration, I went outside the city walls and built a shelter. And I sat and watched to see what would happen. As I stewed, angry and frustrated, there grew a plant right next to my shelter that amazingly grew in one day to blossom over my shelter and to give me shade and comfort as I sat there. And I thought, how good the God of Israel is to care for me, to shelter me. And I became less angry and more satisfied and waited to see what would happen in Nineveh. But the following morning, I noticed a worm that started gnawing at the base of the plant until this giant tree shriveled up in the same miraculous manner and completely dissolved. And that day, the sun was twice as hot, and I became sick. Too sick to even move. And I cursed God. I said, why would this happen? And God spoke to me. He said, why are you angry with a worm being sent when a plant was delivered to you for your goodness? Why would you be angry with God wanting to love the Assyrian people when they hated our people? And God, why would you not protect our people? And I saw all of a sudden the hypocrisy of my statement. I saw that just because God loves the Hebrew people does doesn't mean he can't love others. You see, God's love is greater than anything we can imagine. In fact, the truth is that really we are powerless to affect God or God's love. The story of my life is a metaphor. People have argued about it over the years. They've said, unless you believe that this story really happened, you can't call yourself a Christian. And others have said, it's a fish story. How could we understand that? And others have said, why is it even in the scripture? Because it does nothing to encourage the prayers and offering to Yahweh. But the truth is, I am the only prophet whose prophecy was not meant for the people of God. It was meant for me. God was talking to my ethnocentric sensibilities. God was saying that his love is larger than any of the things that I use to prevent people from knowing God's love. That the message was meant for me, not for the people. What do we need to learn from that? What do you need to learn from that? Is there a person in your life that you might think is disgusting, awful, evil? Does God love that person? Has God called you to go to the evil places of the world to pronounce his love, to share the gifts of his love? You see, my story has been used not only to affect my own people of their pride, but it also was used as a prediction in the New Testament story that Matthew told. Look, then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Jesus, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. The people of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah and see something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon and see that something greater than Solomon is here. And Jesus went on to say, then some, the Pharisees and Sadducees, came, and to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening, you will say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. And then he left them and went away. You see, the Son of God himself, came for the whole world. This week, how will you love the most hideous person that you know as you see them as a child of God? What a challenge for a prophet and for the people of God. Amen.